1 Canto 4, Chapter 23, Chapter entitled Smaras Petus Going Back Home. Text number 33.
Trikritva
idam
akarnya.
Trikritva idam akarnya.
Naro narya atha bhatrita.
Naro narya atha
bhatrita. Apraja supraja tamo.
Apraja
supraja tamo.
Apraja supraja
tamo. Nirdhano dhanavattama.
Nirdhano dhanavattama.
Nirdhano dhanavattama.
Nirdhano dhanavattama.
Trikritva idam akarnya.
Trikritva idam akarnya.
The materialistic persons who are very fond of money and great families worship different demigods to attain their desires, especially goddess Durga, or Shiva, or Brahma. Such natural expressions are called Sreeshwarya Prajapaswava. Sri means beauty, Aishwarya means riches, Praja means children, and Ipsava means desiring. As described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to worship the various demigods for different types of benedictions. However, here it is indicated that simply by hearing the life and characteristics of Maharaj Prithu, one can have both the riches and the children in enormous quantity. One simply has to read and understand the history and the life activities of Maharaj Prithu. It is advised that one reads them at least 3 times. Those who are materially affected will so benefit by hearing of the Supreme Lord and His devotees that they need not to go to any demigods. The word Suprajatama, or surrounded by many children, is very significant in this verse. For one may have many children, but may not have any qualified children here. However, it is stated that Supraja, that all children thus attained would be qualified in education, wealth, beauty and strength. Everything is complete. ॐ ज्ञानजीवन्तस्य जनजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितेन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभिसंस्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकलाभयं ददाति स्वगुणाधिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदगौरवं श्रीगुरुवैष्णवांशस्त्रीरूपं साकजातं सहनारुणापण्डितं तपसजीवं साद्वैतं साधुतं प्रियजनाश्रितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहनामलिता श्रीविशाखाम्बिकांश. हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते तत्कृतांशिनि गौरङ्गी श्रीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वांशाकर्तुरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुरेव पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्दस्य अद्वैतगदाधरस्य श्री गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण. So wonderfully we are hearing the great pastimes of Maharaj Prithu, and coming by concluding complete chapter of the descriptions of the pastimes of Maharaj Prithu. We hear the whole activities of Maharaj Prithu. Now Sukadev Goswami is giving the phalaskriti, or the benefits of hearing these great transcendental pastimes of such a great wonderful devotee. So today's verse we're hearing that by hearing this narration, if a person is without money, he becomes rich. And a person without therefore children, they will have children, as the benediction of today's verse. And Prabhupada makes a point that having bad son is actually not good. Having many sons is good, but having a good son who are spiritual, who are spiritual minded, who are educated, qualified, beauty, strength, and all those qualifications is a great asset on our children. So today's class, I thought of we hearing the falasruti, or we get the benefit of hearing the pastimes of this Harasprithu's activities. So today I thought of going through overview of the entire pastime very quickly within today's class of Maharaj Prithu, just a review, because we are coming to the end of the class, the past session of Maharaj Prithu. It will be a kind of revision, so it will be more of an interactive narration of Maharaj Prithu's entire activity. So as we know, Maharaj Prithu is coming in the line of Dhruva Maharaj, yeah? And Dhruva Maharaj's father is? If we go backwards, Uttanapad. So, if we see the tree of Maharaj Prithu's the lineage, Brahma, Swayamguru Manu, and Swayamguru's Manu's sons was Uttanapad, Priyavrata, and three daughters, Akuti, Prasuti, and Devoti. So, Maharaj Uttarapad's son is Dhruva Maharaj. We heard a very nice entire the activities of Maharaj Dhruva. So from Dhruva Maharaj, his sons, he had two sons, Utkala and Vatsala. Utkala was the older one. He decided not to marry. The practice of Avadhuta, which means he completely became absent or just ignored the world and just completely became a saintly personality, just meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he decided not to get married. Then Vatsala had a son, or five sons. One of the sons is Pushparana. From Pushparana we have Sarvateja. From Sarvateja we have Chakshusha, which was the sixth Manu in the day of Rana. Currently we are the seventh Manu with Vaivashvan Manu. So previous Manu was in the line of Maharaj Dhruva. Then we have Ulluka, the son of Chakshusha. Then comes Maharaj Anga. And Maharaj Anga was a very pious king. And he married to Sunita, who was the daughter of the death personification. So now Maharaj Anga did not have a son, or did not have children. So the yajna was performed. At that yajna, when the yajna was being performed, generally, because then we had a qualified priest, we had qualified brahmanas to perform such yajna, demigods would personally be present on those yajnas. So in this instance, in Maharaj Anga's sacrifice, the demigod did not come. And performed the tribe, even the Maharaj Anga went to the priest and asked them, what is the reason that they are not here? Then priest said, my dear king, you, in this life, you have performed all activities very piously, very virtuously. But in your past life, you had some karmic reaction. Therefore, the demigods did not appear in the sacrifice. So then priest suggested, okay, let's go higher up. Let's go worship, perform the yajna for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. Then the sacrifice was performed, and from the sacrifice, the personality appeared and gave the sutras to Maharaj Anga. Then Maharaj Anga gave the sutras to his wife, and as a result, the son Vena was born. Now we hear, we don't know how Vena was. Vena was very cruel personality. His activities were not pious or spiritual. It is described when he was a child in a playful mood. He used to take his friends, children's friends, and drown them. He was such a cruel personality. And unnecessarily you should harass them. They climb up the tree or shake on the tree and they'll fall down. So just very cruel kind of nature, personality was born. I think the Prabhupada mentions, it's mentioned that even though father was great, the mother was being in the family of a person who is not death. He became like that kind of personality. Then it got to the point so frustrating for Maharaj Anga to see this cruel son. He's so frustrated. Finally, he decides to leave the kingdom. So now we had a king suddenly overnight. And everyone was sleeping, Maharaj Anga goes to forest. When they search for Maharaj Anga, they could not find him. Now we have a kingdom without a king. So the sages, they are Brahmins and sages, they are also responsible, that they also play a role in the society, in the kingdom. So now they decided, now we need a king. Because without the king, the rogues and thieves, they were harassing the citizens. So, and at that time, given circumstances, there was no one else. So they approached Mother Sunita, who was the mother of King Vena, that let's install a king. Having a ruler is better because then he can control the rest of the citizens or rogues and thieves. Especially the circumstance is such that the rogues and thieves were asking the citizen, because King Vena was very strict and he was cruel himself, that other cruel people, the thieves and rogues will stay away. So now King Vena was installed as a king. So then, because he's a cruel nature, the King Vena stopped all spiritual activities. It was the Brahmanas. Finally, again, they approached the king. So the Brahmanas approached the King Vena. So the king, if you rule the king according to the pious, according to the Varnashram system, and according to the Vedic scripture, you will have both you will enjoy this world as a king, and in the next life you will also be benefited. They also told them, you should encourage your citizen, and you yourself should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. So at that point, when King Vena heard this, then he said, no. So he disagreed. Disagreed to the proposal. And what did King reply to Vena? He said, this is in chapter 14, verse 23. King Vena said, you know that our experience, it is very much regretful that you are maintaining something which is not religious and not accepted, accepting as irreligious. Indeed, I think you are giving up your real husband, who maintains you, and are searching after some paramour to worship. He continued. He says, Lord Vishnu, Lord Rama, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, Vayu, the Kubera, Sun, Moon, Murga, Earth, Fire, Varuna, all others who are great, competent to bestow the benediction to all, all abide in the body of the king. This was his logic. So now, you worshipping these personalities, you suggested, but everybody desire on the king's body, there they abide. That was his logic. So now you worship me. You don't need to worship them. For this reason, the king is known as the observer of all demigods who are simply part of now that the whole thing changed. Now he becomes says, now I'm the, you worship me. Everybody's a knee. Then, after making him understand, it was not difficult. So, finally the sages decided to kill him. And through the high sounding mantras, the sages actually killed. Now again, then we have a kingdom without the king. Vena is not killed. What to do? So the body, Mother Smita, the mother of Vena, she preserved the body of King Vena. Then sages again, without the king, the citizens were being harassed by the three rogues and thieves. They again came together and said, what to do? So they decided to churn the body of Vena through the mantra and through the different processes. They churned the body of Vena. And the first personality comes is, do you know? Nishada or Bahuka. That first personality. That represents the all the sinful activities that Vena had done in his life. So that from the time, the Nishada or Bahuka was born. And then they churned the arms of Vena. Then Shrutu Maharaj and Archi were born. So Shrutu Maharaj is not an ordinary personality. Shrutu Maharaj is a Satyavisavatar. the empowered personality, empowered avatar of personality process. So when Maharaj Krishna appeared, Lord Brahma also came and examined the features of the Maharaj Krishna's body, and through that he could understand how the personality he was, who he was. And in due course, the Maharaj Prithu was different demigods came and offered different types of gifts to Maharaj Prithu, because he was such a great personality. Kubera offered the golden throne, Vayu offered the two whisk and chamaras. Dharma offered the flower garland, which would expand its fame, so it's a very fragrant garland offered by Dharma. Indra offered the valuable helmet, crown. Yamaraj offered scepter, or the what do you call scepter? Is danda? Danda? Scepter. Brahma offered a spiritual knowledge as a gift. Saraswati offered a transcendental necklace. And even Lord Vishnu is in this person chakra. It's mentioned in the chapter 15. Goddess of Fortune offered a gift as opulence. Lord Shiva offered a sword as a gift to Maharaj Prithu. So and so forth. Agni offered a bow, Sun God offered the arrows. Like that, all demigods offer many varieties of transcendental gifts. The gifts and the seeing from the demigods is a great gift. They're not ordinary gifts, not like some mortal human offering these gifts. It's coming from demigods, very special gifts. So Maharaj Prithu is being such a great exalted personality. He receives all these gifts from different demigods. Then as the pastime unfolds, the Maharaj Prithu is being glorified by sutras and mothers. The sutras and Magadhas, they are specially trained, or especially their profession is to glorify the great personalities. And then they glorify the Maharaj Prithu. In chapter 16, verse 4, says, this is Sutta and Magadhas glorifying the king. This king, Maharaj Prithu, is the best amongst those who are following the religious principle. As such, he will engage everyone in the pursuit of religious principle and give those principles all protection. He will also be a great chastiser to the irreligious and atheistic. So now they're predicting how this great Maharaj Prithu will be. This king alone, in his own body, will be able to do course of time to maintain all living entities and keep them in a pleasant condition by manifesting himself as a different demigod to perform various departmental activities. Thus he will maintain the upper planetary system by introducing a opulence of performing Vedic sacrifices. In due course of time he will also maintain his earthly planet by discharging proper rainfall. So these are some of the prayers that are offered by a Sutas and Magadhas in glorification of Maharaj Prithu. In that same chapter, after when they offered these prayers, Maharaj Prithu in humility said to this, and he said, I have not done any of these activities before he mentioned. And in humility, and then Maharaj Prithu offers them, they make gifts to all those present, all those the reciters and Brahmanas, and then he offers to give great gifts to these personalities. Then, now Maharaj Krishna has been coronated as king. However, the citizens were not happy. They must guess why?
They were not getting enough food?
Yes.
They had no food.
No food. Mother Earth had sewer. In fact, it was
poverty.
Took a sewer.
Right.
Withdrawn, yes. Withdrawn the ability to produce the grains and everything.
Hiding the seeds,
yes. And see, so that as a result, the citizens were thin and skinny. They were emaciated, no food. What was the reason that kept the seeds and everything, so there was no grains to produce? You know what you guess?
Because people were not using it for the satisfaction of the people, no sacrifice.
Yes, that's one reason, yes. Any other guess?
There were many impious men.
Sorry?
There were many impious men.
There were many impious men, yes. Primarily, she took away because the ruler, King Vena, was such a process, impious a king. And all the whatever the grains and everything was meant to be for sacrifices for the pleasure of the Lord, instead they were using the sense gratification, and therefore it is mentioned that she was not producing as should be. Mm. Then what happens? Maharaj Krishna gets angry. Chastises her. Now we perform sacrifices. In the sacrifice, you get the share. We have taken the share of the sacrifice we perform. But you're not producing, not giving what you're supposed to maintain the citizens. So you got upset with Mother Earth. Then in the past time, it unfolds that he chases Mother Earth. See, once in the form of a cow. And Maharaj Krishna took an arrow, bow and arrow, so chasing the earth. Then finally, she surrenders. And when she surrendered, she says, "My dear king, not only are the grains and herbs being used by the non-devotees, but as far as I am concerned, I am not being properly maintained. Indeed, I am being neglected by the kings who are not punishing these rascals who have turned into thieves by using grain for sense gratification. Consequently, I have hidden all these seeds which were meant for the performance of sacrifice." This is chapter 4. Chapter 4, chapter 18, text number 7, where Arath is saying, giving the reason why he sees it. Then the Mother Earth agreed to give the grains, the reproduced all the necessities for the citizens. She suggested to have, I am in the form of a cow, I need a calf to release the different, the opulence I hold. So Maharaj Prithu requests the different personalities, they come and they act as a calf for different opulence that Mother Earth is going to do. Swayambhu Manu was the first village. He was transformed into a calf. What he get was herbs and grains was received as the firm. Now Brihaspati became a calf and the Vedic knowledge was expected, received from the Mother Earth. Hmm? Indra, different kinds of beverages. Hmm? Prahlad Maharaj, different kinds of liquors and all those intoxicating plants can produce. So other earth produces everything. All liquors and fruits and flowers and grains, everything comes from earth. So these different personalities became as a cow, and Mother Earth is now supplying different types of necessities. The inhabitants of Gandharvaka and Atharvaloka made Vishwavasu as a calf, and as a result, sweet musical art and beauty also came from Mother Earth. Aryama, the resident of Pitriloka, became a calf, and then the receiver was Kavya. It's called Kavya, food offered to ancestors. That food which gets offered to ancestors, they receive from Mother Earth. Kapila Muni, or Kapila Dev, through him, mystic powers were extracted from the Mother Earth. The inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka, they received the art of flying in the sky. That's also come from Mother Earth, the art. Maya, the demon, mystic powers of appearing and disappearing from the scene, different mystic power. So forth and like that. So now Mother Earth, he has given all the opulences back to Maharaj Prithu. Then Maharaj Prithu levels the different parts, the hills and levels into a ground. Right? Mother Earth suggested, please level me so that the moisture, the rain, everything retained in the ground, anything you plant in the seed, that will grow profusely. So therefore Maharaj Prithu, he flattens the land and makes it suitable for a cultivation. That's Maharaj Prithu. So now the kingdom of the has now going well. Maharaj Prithu has become a king. All the citizens are happy. Maharaj Prithu decides to perform Ashwamedha Yajna. How many? Sorry?
Thousand.
No.
Thousand.
No.
Thousand?
No. 100. He decides to perform Ashwamedha Yajna. Where does he go to? Does anyone remember? To perform the yajna? Brahmavarta. Brahmavarta was the captain of Maharaj Swayam Bhagavan when he was ruling. So he went there and then was first to perform 105 Ashwamedha Yajna. So in the beginning it's mentioned that when he was performing a fire sacrifice, even the Lord Brahma, different demigods, all were present, including Lord Vishnu, who was present there personally, keeping the audience on the book when he was performing sacrifices. So what happens? Do you remember what happened after this? Yes. When the 99 Ashwamedha Yajnas were performed on the 99th time, Lord Indra becomes envious. You know why? You want to guess?
Because if he performs the 100, he will take the position of Indra.
Yes. He was fearful that if Maharaj Prithu performs 105 Ashwamedha Yajna, then that is one of the criteria to become Indra. So being fearful, being envious that Maharaj Pitunath is going to take my position, or he will take the position as performer of 100 fire sacrifice, became envying, what did he do? Sorry?
Stole the horse.
Yes, he came to steal a horse. In what form? How did he come? He came as a disguise as a sannyasi. He didn't come himself as he has the Indra. He comes with the disguise form. What happened then? Yes? Who detects him? Sorry? Not quite, no. That's wrong.
Sage.
Do you know the name of the sage? Atririshi. Atririshi was one of the sages who was performing the yajna for Maharaj Pratim. He detects Indra. That Indra has come in the disguise as a sannyasi to what? Steal the horse. Atririshi alerts who? Yes, that's right. Krishna is his son. He said, here, look, he's stealing the horse. He's in the kill or chase him. So, yes, that's what chases into the way and then gets the horse back. So they continue to try again. He comes back again the second time and tries to steal him. Again, same scenario. Previously, takes him home. He gets chased. It happened multiple times. Then finally, even Maharaj Prithu himself got so upset that, what is this? I'm trying to perform. So he got upset. Actually, he wanted to kill the guy. The priest who was performing that yajna told Maharaj, you're performing a yajna, you should not get angry. So therefore, they actually decided, okay, we can actually by through our mantra, we can call Indra and kill him in this fire sacrifice. When they were attempting to do this, then who appears? Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma appears and says, no, don't kill Indra. So Indra pacifies Maharaj Prithu and Indra pacifies all the priests. And then somebody else also comes. You remember? Lord Vishnu. He comes with?
Indra.
Lord Vishnu just didn't come himself. He came along with Indra in a real form, not in the sannyasi form. He brings him along. Then, at that time, Lord Vishnu also pacifies Maharaj Prithu. one of the, accompanied with the enter Lord Vishnu is now in the scene. Lord Vishnu gives instruction there. He tells Maharaj Prithu, this is chapter 20 and 14. To give protection, he's glorifying Maharaj Prithu. He says, to give protection to the general mass of people who are citizens of the state, is prescribed occupational duty for a king. By acting this way, the king in his next life shares the 1/6 of the results of the pious activities of the citizen. So if the ruler or the king is pious, all the pious activities performed by a citizen, how much is the king's gain?
1/6.
And guess what? If the bad activities,
also
same equally. So it is in the interest of the leaders, interest of these the kings or the rulers. It is always even in the better interest is to perform a pious activities. They are liable. They are also liable in the eyes of the common law, but they are also liable in the law of karma. So 1-6 of says of the king, but a king or executive head of state who simply collects taxes from the citizens but does not give them proper protection as a human being, as a result of his own pious activity taken away by the citizen, in exchange for his not giving protection, becomes a liable punishment for the impious activities of the subject. This is a statement of Lord Vishnu. Then, what happens next? You want to guess? Yes. Then, of course, Lord Vishnu, in Indra falls at the lotus feet of Maharaj Prithu for asking for forgiveness. Does Maharaj Prithu, what does he do? Does he forgive or forgive? Does not?
Does
not. He forgives. Such is the qualities of a great personality. He forgave Indra. And then, in that exchange, Maharaj Prithu offers a very beautiful prayers to Lord Vishnu. He says, this is like text 24 in chapter 20. My dear Lord, therefore I do not wish to have benediction of merging into your existence. A benediction which is therefore, which there is no existence of the nectarian beverage of your lotus feet, I want the benediction of at least 1,000,000 years. Not years and years. Years and E-Y. What is that? E-A-R. Not Y-E-A-R. So he's asking for what? 1,000,000 years. What is he asking? He wants to hear. So he says, thus far I may be able to hear about the glories of the lotus feet from the mouth of your pure devotee. What is Maharaj Prithu asking? He's asking 1,000,000 years. So he can hear the activities, pastimes, narration of the, from the mouth of the pure devotees. So, yes, now the scenario where we are, Lord Vishnu has come into the performance, and the performance of Yajna is complete, it is completed. The Maharaj Prithu offers beautiful prayers. Lord Vishnu offers a nice instruction to Maharaj Prithu. Then Lord Vishnu departs from that scenario. Then now next is Maharaj Prithu is returning back to his kingdom after performing yajna. Then he it is also described how the king, when he was returning, how the kingdom was so well decorated by the citizens in the love of receiving the king. very nicely decorated. And then when Maharaj Prithu comes back in his kingdom, and he instructs the citizens. He gives instructions to the citizens. It's very couple of instructions of Maharaj Prithu. This is giving to his king, his citizens. He says, this is in the text 24, chapter 21. Any any king who does not teach his citizens about their respective duties in terms of varna and ashram, but who simply accepts the tolls and taxes from them, is liable to suffer for his impious activities, which have been performed by the citizens. In addition to such degradation, the king also loses his own fortune. He continues, therefore, my dear citizen, for the welfare of your king, after death, you should execute your duty properly in terms of pious position of varna and ashram. You should always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart. So Narada is teaching his citizen. He's teaching they should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is very important. He's not teaching how to enjoy your senses, how to, you know, so on and so forth. Then as the pastime unfolds, he is now given a very elaborate instruction, this whole chapter on this, on the instructions of Maharaja giving to his citizens. What happens next? Yes. Great personalities, four Kumaras appear at the palace of Maharaja. Maharaj Prithu receives these great personalities, worships their lotus feet, and they praise them, he offers to receive everything. And then he humbly begs these personalities, please instruct me. There is this whole so the in request of Maharaj Prithu, now Kumaras are giving instruction to king. So I'll read a couple of instructions that I have for the king. One should make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification. This is one of the instructions given by Kumaras to Maharaj Prithu. They said, give up the bad association, in other words, for simply interest in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. Hindu. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. One can be thus celebrated by being disgusted with the taste of sense enjoyment. A candidate for a spiritual advancement must be non-violent, must follow the footsteps of the great acharyas, must always remember the nectarian pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, must follow the regulative principles without material desire, and while following the regulative principle, one should not blaspheme others. A devotee should lead a very simple life and not be disturbed by a duality of opposing elements. He should learn to tolerate them. This is the instruction. There are many instructions given by Kumaras to Maharaj Prithu. So now we're coming towards the end. So the Kumaras have come, they have also instructed Maharaj Prithu. Then Maharaj Prithu now rules the whole kingdom for many, many years. At the final time of his life, he handovers his kingdom to his sons. He had five sons from Madarachi. Then the final chapter, 23 chapter of this hearing, Maharaj Prithu is now in preparation of going home, back home, back to Godhead. So he goes to the forest, he performs devotional service, he also practices the yoga mystics process in order to bring his life here from, you know, lower to up. And finally, he, through the yoga process, he decides to leave his body after performing the yoga process. And then, Mother Archie, who is also going to the forest along with Maya Pitu, she performs the funeral rites. And she also goes into the pyre, funeral pyre, as a sati. And she also leaves the body in that same pyre. In that, seeing that this great act was performed by Archie, demigods, they come and praise the action, the activities. They glorify, look how glorious is these two kings, these couple, king and queen. They have performed great pious activities during their lifetime. Now, in a very short span of time, they are returning back home, back to Godhead. We as a demigod have to live so lonely years in the heavenly planets. We are not fortunate enough. In short span of time, this king and queen are eligible, able to make their activities such that they go back home, back to Godhead. They glorify this way. And then, of course, we know that Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Archi have returned back home, back to Godhead. This is just a summary overview of what the Maharaj Bhakti Bija of Maharaj Prithu, as today's verse mentions, as a falasruti of hearing the narration of Maharaj Prithu's activities. What was the benediction? The very enormous. This is the today's verse, text 33. It does not matter whether one is a man or a woman, anyone who, with a great respect, hears this narration of Maharaj Prithu will become a father of many children if he is without children, and will become a rich man if he is without money. So this was the I thought it was just repeating, it's supposed to repeat three times, so you can do a third time yourself. So we heard about the narration in the Association of Devotees. You can also read the great activities, read again and again. These are wonderful pastimes of Maharaj Prithu. So I'll end here and ask any questions, comments, corrections. Yes, Prabhupada.
Could you please tell me what is Ashwamedh Yajna? And why does he have to go out of the kingdom to do it?
So the question is, what is Ashwamedh Yajna and why Maharaj Prithu went to Purnalaka to perform their activities? Why didn't he do it at the kingdom? Is that the right question? So as the different type of activities mentioned for different yuga, in Treta Yuga, it is mentioned the activities for that yoga dharma is yagyas. In yagyas, there are different types of yagya. There is Ashwamedha yagya, there is Radhasri yagya, there is Kavamedha yagya, there is Romedha yagya. There are so many different types of yagyas to perform. Generally, we hear the description of kings performing a Radhasri Yagya, like Maharaj Yudhishthira, Ashwamedha Yagya, many kings perform. So Ashwamedha is the sacrifice that is, Ashwa means horse. In these sacrifices, animals are sacrificed to test the mantras or the performers of the priest, whether it's being successful or unsuccessful, is offered. The animal is offered in the yajna, but through the same mantra, these animals were given a better life immediately. It's just another sacrifice. It's a whole sacrifice, and in details, how it's performed, how it's done, my Lord is limited on that. But it comes to these different types of yajnas performed by kings. And the second part of the question is why it was not done in his kingdom, why he had to go. The place, holy places, some spiritual activities performed in the holy places have a greater effect. I'm guessing, this is my guess. So that in the bank of Saraswati, in the Bhagavad-gita, this is my guess, is that if it was a very holy place, is in the bank of Saraswati, then Saraswati performed the yajna. Possibly another good reason is that Maharaj Bhita is also in line with, in the Maharaj Swayambhu, has respect to that place, must have performed the yajna. So that could be the different reason. Any others? Yes.
Did he have all the five services that came, or just one of them?
Very good question. The question is, did Maharaj Bhita make all his five sons as a king, or just one? Ooh, put me there. Maharaj Vijitasva is mentioned as a king. I would be guessing in this.
Anyone?
Because
then Maharaj Vajinabhari
is his descendant
and he
also becomes king. Yes, so only Vijitasva becomes king. Yeah. So the Vijitasva, he's one of the oldest son of Maharaj Vitu, he becomes king, and then the other brothers support him. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Tatra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Maharaj Pritu ki jai.